Welcome back to the Student Loan Show, hosted by me, Jay Fleischman. On today's program, how to tell if your school is a scam and what to do about it. Ready? Here we go. Oh, and by the way, if you've got a question about your student loans, go to studentloanshow.com and get in touch. Who knows? Maybe I'll answer your question on an upcoming episode. So the big news from higher education continues to be the closure of Corinthian College's campuses, which includes Everest, Heald, some WyoTech schools, some Everest online schools. And not only is the school closed, but now the school has filed a Chapter 11 bankruptcy, which of course feeds into everybody's belief that anybody who was wronged by the Corinthian College's campuses is probably not going to get very much in the way of satisfaction. And you've got the Corinthian 100, who are a bunch of debt protesters who are not paying their student loans because of this issue. You've got other people standing up in solidarity. You've got Elizabeth Warren, who has a petition that has been signed by somewhere on the order of 250,000 student loan borrowers. And the list goes on and on. It all leads us to the question of what if your college is a scam? So today we're going to talk about how you can tell if your school is a scam and what you can do about it. Let's jump into it. First, how can you tell if your school is a scam? And there are a couple of things that you can point to. First of all, if there are low expectations to get in, if all you've got to do is show up and you're in, you've got a problem. Those low expectations are indicative of the fact that the school doesn't really have any standards and they're looking for your money, not necessarily for your educational welfare. So if you call up a school and you say, hey, what do I need to have on my SATs? Or is there something that I need to be showing you specially from high school, certain grades? And they say, no, just come on in. Well, they've got low expectations, and that expectation only goes to your wallet. So if they've got low expectations, run the other way, it's probably a scam. If all they want is your credit card or bank information, then it's probably a scam because it shows that all they want is your money. They're not looking out for your educational benefit. So in that way, it's actually part of that low expectation. Third, if there are promises of financial aid, we guarantee that you're going to get financial aid. Don't worry about any money. It's all taken care of. Well, again, that goes to money. That doesn't go to your benefit. And no school can promise you financial aid for 100% of the ride unless it's a scholarship, an academic scholarship that you're not going to have to pay back. But if they're promising you financial aid, what they're promising you is a loan. And who gets the loan money? The college. The college gets the loan money. You get it. You endorse it. It goes to the college. It fills their pockets and leaves you with a debt. Fourth, if the school isn't accredited, and there's actually a website run by the U.S. Department of Education that allows you to plug in the name of the school and find out if they're accredited, if they're giving any promises about certain programs or certifications. A lot of schools will promise nursing certifications of one sort or another. Well, you get to go out and find if that program is accredited, because if you go to school for, let's say, a nursing degree and that educational institution isn't accredited, then you're going to go into a hospital and you're going to apply for a nursing job, and they're going to laugh you out of the place. So you want to check if it's accredited, and if it's not accredited, then you want to kind of back off of that. You want to move away from that school because it doesn't pass the sniff test. Fifth, if they're making these big, wild promises that seem out of line for what it is that you're getting, if you're walking into a school that doesn't have any particular requirements with respect to your academic performance before getting to the school, and they're promising you six-figure jobs in computer programming, in nursing, in the medical field, in the legal field, you know that there's a disconnect. We hope, as people looking to brighten our futures, we hope that the school is telling the truth. But the reality is that if what you need to get into the school is remarkably different than what you need to do to get out of the school with this bright future, well, then you may have a problem that you're going to want to look into more deeply, because the school may be a scam. Number six, if you're getting sales calls from the college, then you've got a problem. Colleges don't make sales calls. The only time a school is going to really go after somebody hard is if you're talking about an academic scholarship for a really high scoring person, you know, the valedictorian of their class with that perfect score on the SAT. Maybe you'll get somebody from the school calling them once. Or if you've got an athlete at a school with a really well-regarded team, maybe you'll get a phone call, or maybe you'll get a visit from a coach. But you're never going to get sales calls from a college. You're just not. A sales call means that they're smelling blood in the water, and you want to make sure about that, because if they're smelling blood in the water, it's your blood. So if you're getting sales calls from the school, probably a scam. And finally, if the school has multiple campuses in office parks in far-flung locations, for instance, if the school has 5 campuses in your general vicinity in office parks, or if the college has, you know, 5 or 10 or even 4 or 3 or 2 university campuses in far-flung locations, well, you want to look into that. Remember, most schools outside of state universities don't really have that much in the way of multiple campuses. Maybe they'll have one satellite for a very specialized portion of the school, but they're not going to have college campuses nationwide. That's a for-profit university. And that scalability, that 10 or 100,000 students scattered nationwide, that doesn't smell right. It just doesn't. And it's the sort of thing that a lot of the for-profit schools do. Corinthian, there are some other schools like ITT Tech and DeVry and the Art Institute. Pretty much anybody who's advertising on TV in the middle of the day or late night, probably a school that perhaps might give you pause, might be one of these schools that has one of these low expectations. Maybe they're not accredited. Maybe they're giving you big promises. Maybe these are the schools that you're going to get the sales calls from that have these multiple campuses, and they talk about them with a sense of pride. These are the reasons that give you pause. These are some of the things that are going to turn on a big, big red light, a siren that says, wait a minute, this school may not be able to deliver on the promise that they're making to me. And that means that it may be a scam. But what happens if you're already in it? Because for the most part, you're already in the school. You know, if you're first getting into the school and some of these pointers about whether it's a scam have helped you, well, that's great. But what happens if you're already in the school? Well, what do you do if you realize that your school's a scam? Well, all hope's not lost. We're going to do some things to minimize the damage. The first thing that you want to do is you want to get your transcript. You want to get the transcript of all of your classes, your grades, your classes, course syllabi, if you can, the description of the course, the outline of what the teacher taught in that semester. You want to have all of that, because if the school is not accredited or is only provisionally accredited or may not be accredited at another, the other school may not take your credits. By having the information, you may have a fighting chance of at least being able to get some credit for the work that you've done. So get your transcript, the course syllabi, the outlines. If you still have your lesson plans, keep those. Keep them in a separate folder and make sure that it's organized as well as you can organize it. Then you want to also go through all of your school's sales and promotional literature. Anything that you got from the school or anything that the school has currently for prospective students. Go into the registration office. Tell them that you're interested in getting their information to a friend who might want to go to school. You know, get everything you can, every piece of sales literature, every piece of promotional information, because you want to have that on hand. You want to be able to document all of the promises that they made to you and everything that they said that was going to happen, potentially. Then, this is twofold. You want to sit down and you want to think about getting your GED if you don't have one or if you don't have a high school degree, because there's no college, no real college that's going to allow you to get in the door without at least a GED. So you want to make sure that you have that. If you don't already have it, if you don't already have your high school degree, get your GED. Maybe it'll take a little bit of time. Maybe it'll take a little bit of energy and you'll have to study a little bit, but it is a critical piece of information and a critical document and a critical certification that you need to have if you are going to go to another school. You want to consider taking the SAT, which is a prerequisite for most colleges and universities. You want to consider doing that. Now, even if you're not going to go to another school, by the way, that GED is helpful if you don't have a high school degree, because any job that you're going to get a better job if you've got at least a high school degree. It's just the way the world works. So that goes back to the GED and high school diploma. Consider thinking about sitting for the SAT if you can. Dozens of courses online you can take to help prepare you for the SAT. A lot of books you can read to help prepare you for the SAT. You can take some practice ones. There are places online where you can take practice SATs. Any courses that you take will give you a lot of practice, so that's going to help. Don't worry about it. You can do this. You really can. You can do this. Then, now that you've laid some groundwork, you want to accept the fact that most, if not all, of your credits that you took at this scam school are probably not going to take you anywhere. They're not going to transfer. They're not going to do anything. Maybe you learned stuff. Maybe you learned some really good stuff, because a lot of these scam schools, there's a nugget of good stuff. Maybe you were the one student who got this great education in spite of the school. Maybe you studied extra hard. Maybe you worked really hard. Maybe you've done some outside work to try to up your game a little bit, to get ahead. So maybe you learned a lot. And I think that that's a great thing. But understand that if you go to another school, if you go to another school, your credits may not transfer. Take a deep breath, accept it. Then you want to withdraw immediately from that school. If it's a scam, you want to get out of there as quick as you can. The only time that you don't want to withdraw immediately is if you're at the end of a semester. Got a couple of weeks left, you're going to take a final. You've already paid for the semester anyway, either in cash or a student loan. Might as well just stay for the semester. But by no means should you stay there. Get out. Get out while the getting's good, right? So you're going to get out of that school and you're going to sit for that GED or that SAT, and you're going to start looking. The first place to start looking are community colleges. Two-year institutions, you graduate with an associate's degree. It's going to take you 2 years, maybe take you a little bit longer if you're working, but it's going to take you at least 2 years, and you're going to get this done, and you're going to get it done the right way, because there's no shortcut to an associate's degree. Now, maybe after that, you'll go ahead and you'll transfer to another college, get a bachelor's degree. That's fine, but let's start with the associate's. Let's start at the community college level. Let's start where it's got a lower barrier to entry, where your GED and your classes and your grades might get you a little bit further. I know everybody says, you know, the old commercial, aim high. I think it was an Air Force commercial, aim high. Well, now we're just going to aim normal. Aim, shoot for the target that you can hit. Try for the community college. And if you don't get in right away, don't get all bummed out. Don't get all bummed out. Because sometimes you're not going to get there the first time. Maybe you'll have to work a little while. Maybe you'll have to audit classes, which is going to a class and not getting credit. Maybe you'll take one class in a non-degree program. You can take continuing education classes. Maybe you'll do that and use that as a way to bring up your background and your education so that you can use that as a way of showing the community college that, hey, I'm serious about this. I really want to learn. I made a mistake. I went to a scam school. I got suckered. It happens. And now I want to get it done right. So do that. With respect to your finances, we've got to talk about your student loans. First, we'll talk about the federal loans. You want to go onto the NSLDS system and take a look at all of your outstanding federal loans. And you want to get yourself into one of the alternate payment plans, either income-based repayment, or if you're a newer student, pay as you earn, which will cap your payment amounts based upon your income. So that's going to keep you in line with your federal student loans. It'll keep you up to date. It'll keep those payments relatively affordable so that this way you can focus on the education that you wanted to get. So take a look at your federal student loans and opt for one of those alternative payments. Then what you want to do is you want to pull your credit report, because your credit report is going to show you all of the outstanding private student loans. It'll also show the federal loans, but it'll show you each and every one of the private student loans. And you want to call lenders for each of those loans and get copies of all of your loan applications and all of your documents to see if they match up, to see if all of the loans that are outstanding are actually loans that you took. So you want to make sure that you know really what you're doing here is you're double checking records. You're making sure that there were no loans that were taken out in your name that you have no knowledge of and that you didn't actually take out. So you want to make sure about that. You want to get those copies and you want to keep those copies and you want to organize them, because if there's ever a problem, you want to know about it and you want to know that you've got the backup documentation. If there's a discrepancy, if you see a loan that you didn't actually take out, then you want to sit down and talk to somebody about that, whether it's going to be the lender directly to try to resolve it, or if it's going to be a lawyer, or if it's going to be a state agency, whatever it is. But you want to be able to sit down and talk to somebody about it, because you don't want to be held legally liable for a loan that you never took out in the first place. With respect to the loans that you did take out, you want to review your payment options with the lender. See what they're doing. See what they're willing to do. Let them know what you found out about the school so that if there's a way that they can work with you, then you'll at least know about it, right? So you want to do that. And last but not least, you want to consider your options under state or federal law against the school if you believe that there's been fraud and misrepresentation. If that sales material didn't line up with the reality of what your situation was going to be if you finished the school, if they used high-pressure tactics to get you to enroll, if they didn't give you the full story, if they didn't shoot straight with you, if you believe that you were the victim of fraud or misrepresentation, you want to start thinking about some of your options under the law for legal action against the school. And I'm not saying that there's going to be any grounds for legal action against the school, but you do want to know if that's something that you should be aware of. You want to know about that. So you want to talk to a lawyer. Sit down with the lawyer. If you think that you've got a valid claim against the school, if you believe that you have been defrauded, if they lied to you, not if you didn't get something that you like, but if you think that they lied to you, if they used scare tactics, if they bullied you into signing documents or enrolling, they misrepresented what their outcomes were, those are the things that you want that's going to trigger the possibility of, well, let's sit down and talk to a lawyer. Can't hurt. So those are the things that you can do if you find out, or if you think, or if you realize that the school that you're going to is a scam. If you're in a scam school, you want to get out of it. You want to get as much documentation from them before you leave, because you're never going to get it voluntarily after you go. You want to be able to take stock of your federal and your private student loans and be able to get those in order. And then last but not least, you want to see if there is any potential claim that you may have against the school if you believe that there's been fraud and misrepresentation. That's really your roadmap, and I hope that it's been helpful. This has been the Student Loan Show. My name is Jay Fleischman, and today we talked about how to tell if your school is a scam, and if it is, what you can do about it. This episode of the Student Loan Show was brought to you by the student loan attorneys at Chavin Fleischman. To find out if we can help you, go ahead to consumerhelpcentral.com, or you can just call 866-787-8078. To set up an appointment to talk with one of the attorneys in the office. If you like the show, why don't you do me a favor and go on over to iTunes and give a review and star rating to the Student Loan Show. I really appreciate it, because when you give those reviews and those star ratings, not only is the feedback helpful, because the more feedback that I get, the more I can make sure that I'm giving you more of what you need, but also because the more ratings and star reviews that the show gets, the higher up the iTunes charts that it goes, which means, of course, that more people find the show. And that's really what it's all about, sharing more information with the people who need it most. So until next time, this has been Jay Fleischman, and I'll see you back here next Tuesday.